Hello, everybody, and welcome to Iceberg to Go, your daily dose of Pittsburgh Penguins news and analysis. You can find us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Massive victory for the Penguins last night in the nation's capital, 4-1 over the Washington Capitals to pull within 2 points of two different playoff spots, 2 points behind the Philadelphia Flyers for Metropolitan third spot, and also 2 points behind now the New York Islanders for the second wild card spot in the Eastern Conference, and a 4-1 victory on the back of some very stellar goaltending once again from Alex Nedeljkovic, but also some very stellar defensive play. Now, they did have a slow start, and that is to be expected for an aging team going into their third game in 4 days on the road against all division rivals. They had a massive win over the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden on Monday, an emotional come-from-behind victory over the New Jersey Devils on Tuesday, day off on Wednesday in D.C. They took in the Washington Nationals, taking down the Pittsburgh Pirates, the only loss of the Pirates season so far, and then they finish it all up with a 4-1 victory over the Washington Capitals, 3 wins in a row, slow start, but then the defense kicked it into high gear. The first period, 8 high-danger chances on 9 shots on goal. Somehow managed to finish that period with a 2-0 lead. Goals coming from Ryan Shea, the first of his NHL career, and P.O. Joseph. I thought Sidney Crosby might have redirected the P.O. Joseph one, but instead it goes directly to P.O. Joseph, his second goal of the season. So unlikely sources of offense coming for the Penguins early in the game, and that's what you need, especially like in playoff hockey. That's what you get. Unlikely sources of scoring turns into victories in the playoffs. And that is what we saw on Thursday night in DC. Ryan Shea scores, P.O. Joseph scores, and the Penguins, while giving up more chances than getting, they were able to take a 2-0 lead into the first intermission. And that's when the defense decided to buckle down, shut things down, and keep everything to the outside and to the point for the Washington Capitals. The Penguins didn't really create a whole lot of offense from that point on. And honestly, they didn't create a whole lot of offense in general against the Washington Capitals. You look at what they were able to do, though, on the defensive side of the puck. Not just the defense, not just the goaltenders, but the forwards coming back and being part of that team defense style and making sure that they held that lead on the road. It was a nearly flawless execution by the Penguins in a gotta-have-it game. You lose that one, you're all of a sudden 4 points back of a playoff spot again. You lose that 4-point swing to the Washington Capitals. Not to mention it would have turned into a 4-point swing for the New York Islanders, and the Islanders and the Red Wings have a game in hand now. So that would have been even further away from those teams with that game in hand for those teams. So it was a huge win and a huge moment for the Penguins. And it was all thanks to the play of their really entire team in their defensive zone. They kept the Caps to the outside of the zone, like I mentioned, and allowed only 3 high-danger chances through the entire second and third period of the game. And 2 of those 3 chances were on that extended 5-on-3 in the final frame. I talked about it yesterday on Tip of the Iceberg. The keys to victory in this game were going to be win the first period, in which they did, a 2-0 win, and also the penalty kill. And when I talk about team defense and when I talk about the defense buckling down, the penalty kill deserves a heck of a lot of credit. They were in the box a good bit. Kelly Sutherland likes to blow the whistle, and he was the referee last night. Erik Karlsson getting into some penalty trouble. Some light calls, I would say, but again, at the same time, they called light calls on either way. I think Tom Wilson slashing might have been a little bit of a lighter call. The cross-checking to Crosby was not. So there was a lot of penalties called in this game, especially in that third period. A couple of quick whistles for the 5-on-3. You know the Letang penalty was a penalty. It was just, you have to get your stick out of that situation. You can't put yourself on your back foot with Alex Ovechkin, and that's what he did. But nearly killing off that 5-on-3 in the third. I was in the building for that one. That was electrifying. The amount of Penguins fans in the building was crazy. There was a lot of Penguins fans, and you could hear them by the end of the game. The Let's Go Pens chant was deafening to a certain extent, especially in the upper bowl. And that 5-on-3, it was evident how many Penguins fans were in the building as well, because the Pens didn't let the Capitals set up, which is crazy to think in a situation like that. Chris Letang, one of their better penalty killers in the box, at 5-on-3 for a minute and 50 seconds. Alex Ovechkin and the Capitals having the best power play in the NHL since February 1st. And the Pens, they nearly killed it all off. They got a couple of shorthanded opportunities. I know Brian Rust was giving himself some crap after the game for not scoring on his 5-on-3 breakaway or 3-on-5 breakaway, and then also getting a second opportunity and not being able to put it away. But that was, when you talk about selling out to protect the house, that's what they were doing. Winning faceoffs, winning puck battles, getting to loose pucks faster than the Capitals were, and making sure they were able to get those clears and making sure that they were sticky on the puck carrier in the offensive zone. A great job. Now, they did give up that goal late, but I mean, what are you going to do? A 2-minute 5-on-3, they killed off the first penalty. There was about a couple seconds remaining on the penalty to Chris Letang when Alex Ovechkin just crept down into the slot. You leave that man unmarked, he's usually going to score a goal, and that was one of the few shots that Alex Nedeljkovic was unable to get across for. The only shot that Alex Nedeljkovic wasn't able to make the miraculous save for, because he was also on his game too. Now, the Penguins, they played well defensively. They, like I said, they only gave up one 5-on-5 high danger chance in the second and third periods, but Alex Nedeljkovic in a couple of opportunities had to make some big saves, some scrambles in front. The Penguins did a good job of crashing the net to make sure that they were able to clear the puck out of harm's way, but he did a really good job of staying on his angle, making sure that he was a house in the net, and making sure that nothing squeaked through. So a solid job again by Alex Nedeljkovic, who has been an absolute brick wall for the Penguins over the last 2 weeks, and a good job by the team around him. You know, we haven't been able to say that a lot this season. The Penguins team defense has left a lot to be desired, but last night in a gotta-have-it game, Mike Sullivan had those guys amped up, especially in the second and third periods. Two periods that, outside of that one game on trade deadline week on March 7th, the Penguins have dominated the second and third period in the other two games, now three games, against the Capitals this season, and that carried over into this one, and it was absolutely massive for them to get that 2 points cleanly as well on the road. Three times, I should say. I mean, three-game win streak, three regulation wins against teams either in the playoffs, Capitals entering yesterday were in the playoffs, Rangers are vying for the President's Trophy, or fighting for a playoff spot like the New Jersey Devils, I should say, are at the current moment. So a huge road trip. They go 3-0-1, take 7 of a possible 8 points. Would you have liked to see them hold that lead against Columbus and have that extra point and only be 1 point behind the two playoff spots right now? Yes, but you can't look at the past. What you can do is look into the future, because the Penguins, it doesn't get any easier. They return home, which is a good thing. They get a day off, which is another good thing, but they take on a red-hot Tampa Bay Lightning on Saturday, looking to keep this momentum going and looking to climb closer and closer to those final two playoff spots. If you look at where they're at now, they sit 2 points back of the New York Islanders, who are freshly into a playoff spot after last night, and the Philadelphia Flyers, who are wavering a little bit in that third place position in the Metropolitan Division. The Flyers, the Washington Capitals, and the Detroit Red Wings all in action tonight. Red Wings have a tough matchup against the New York Rangers. Pens could get a little bit of help from the division rival there. The Capitals take on, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, let me double check the schedule here before I look it up. I didn't have it all down here on my notes. But what we have tonight is Flyers at the Sabres, and the Sabres really helped the Penguins with the 6-3 victory over the Washington Capitals earlier in the week. Rangers take on the Red Wings, and the Capitals, on the second half of a back-to-back, go down to take on the Carolina Hurricanes, who hosted and lost to the Boston Bruins last night. So a big night around the NHL tonight for the Penguins as they sit idle. Where will they sit when they get back onto the ice on Saturday afternoon against the Lightning? That remains to be seen, but it is fully scoreboard watching season for the Penguins, and that is all thanks to their own work and their ability to take the game in front of them and really assimilate to the challenge in front of them, which is what they've done very well over this last week. Take a lead into the third period against the Rangers, shut things down defensively. go into the third period trailing against the New Jersey Devils, score five unanswered, while still making sure you didn't give too much up on the back end and Alex Nedeljkovic making the timely saves like he did against the Devils. And then the same thing in Washington that you saw in New York. Third period lead, you buckle down, you shut things down. Again, a couple of huge timely saves by Alex Nedeljkovic. And all of a sudden, Penguins on a three-game win streak, and the Penguins are now, I believe, 4-0-2 in their last six games. Or 5-0-2 in their last seven, something along those lines. They've won a lot of hockey games in the last couple of weeks, dating back to that loss in overtime to the Colorado Avalanche. But a point streak is massive for this team. A win streak is massive for this team as they try to climb back and do what many, including I, said was a miracle feat to pull off, was nearly impossible. They had a 1% chance on MoneyPuck.com just about a week and a half ago of making the playoffs. That percent chance is up to 20, and the playing field is nearly even with them, the Capitals, the Red Wings, the Devils are below them a little bit, the Islanders and the Flyers. It's crazy to think, but Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, who's been really good, that line was phenomenal last night. Couple of young players, Ryan Shea, Jack St. Ivany, both having a great game. Shea obviously getting that goal, but those two as a pairing didn't allow a single high danger chance at about 10 minutes of ice time at 5-on-5. Just a stellar team performance. A lot of players, Michael Bunting, Valtteri Puustinen, connecting for a huge goal in the second period. Erik Karlsson, I thought, looked pretty good, especially on the offensive side of things. The Penguins were filtering things from the point yesterday more so than they have in the past couple of games. So I thought that they played a particularly good road game against the Capitals. And I saw a couple of people online, you know, referencing the 2017 series between the Pens and the Caps, especially those games down at Cap 1 where the Capitals, they looked like the better team. They carried the play almost the entire game, but the Penguins played good defense, were opportunistic on the offensive side of the puck, and shut things down when it mattered most. And that's exactly what they did yesterday. So kudos to them. The hot streak continues. The hope continues. If you're a Penguins fan, a lot of people are all the way back in on them. I think it's interesting that they still have a great opportunity here to make the playoffs. We'll see what they do, but it's certainly going to be very, very intriguing and more intriguing than we expected just a couple of weeks ago heading down the stretch of the season here in April. But that's going to do it for this episode of Iceberg to Go. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And remember, you can find us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins, or you can find us anywhere you get your podcast from. We'll see you guys next time.